Church. It is great to see everyone. I just want to start out by saying that the Southern Connecticut Church rocks. It's a spiritual church, and I've enjoyed our whole stay here. I do want to thank Jeff and Florence. My wife and I had a blast today. Florence is an incredible cook. They're an incredible host, and we've had a great time. We do want to welcome the Southern Connecticut team to the team camp. We have a film festival during the week, and every region and every church makes a film, and I'm going to show them how they can win. Now, here's how you win. You're going to do a film that's about 8 minutes long. It's going to be crazy. Okay, make it crazy because you have people hollering. You know, I can't be a 400 kids in the holler. They love that stuff. Make it fun, make it spiritual, and here's the key. Get a great videographer.
Excited yet? Today's about building a strong, healthy relationship with people. It's a long-term approach that I believe will produce spiritual and emotional health between you and your children. And in all the years I've been working with family ministry, which is over a quarter century, this is my personal approach. And it's also my personal approach to my two children, Scott and Kira. And before I get started, I just want to say, and you know this, that each child is unique, right? Each child is unique. Family dynamics are unique, right? We all bring different dysfunctions into our family. I've got a lot of really weird ones. And different parents will experience different things depending on their history. No matter your dysfunctions, though, or how you've handled things in the past, and even your sin of yesterday. If you start today, you will see fruit from this 10 years down the line. Amen. And let's not forget, there are only three in the Bible who turned out okay. Okay? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the rest of us have flaws, right? Yeah, we all are sitting in the same boat on that one. But we can decide today to make quality decisions to better influence our children and teens. Today I'm going to talk with a stronger slant towards teenagers, but like I said, it connects with everyone that you work with. The seven keys. I believe these are timeless principles. Key number one. Believe in your teenager. Believe in your child. Believe in your spouse. Listen to God's view of Israel, and please apply this view to your child. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. Listen to God's plan for you. He promises great plans. Plans not to harm. Doesn't that make you feel secure? God always gives hope. God's a visionary for us and sees beyond our mess. He's a visionary. Remember what he did for Peter? Peter deserted him. Deserted him at the cross. The highest man of Jesus' life. So what does Jesus do after he raised Christ back from the dead? Jesus is like, you did wrong. I feel foolish. Let me
we do for our children. Yes. That's what we gotta do for our teenagers.
Right. Yes.
That's what we gotta do for our spouse.
Yes.
All of you could be.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's why we want you.
This is what God communicates to Israel, and I believe it's what God communicates to us personally. Communicate belief in your child. You know, our children and teenagers, sorry guys, I'm coming in with some good stuff for you. But they have an identity crisis amidst other issues going on. There's a lot of uncertainty in growing up. There's a lot of instability. Don't communicate in hurtful ways. Unfortunately, teens tend to remember the negative things parents say to them. Things like you never change or you never amount to anything. And if communicated to in such a way, they're likely to carry out that in their heart for a long time. Don't forget, God says, I have no plans to harm you.
Right.
Don't label teenagers. They're too young. The American Psychiatric Association does not allow labels to be placed on those under 18 years old because of the changes still to take place in many of these young people.
Amen.
Can't the culture do a thorough enough job bombarding them with negativity? The greatest burden teenagers feel are adults who forget what it was like when they were a teenager.
Amen.
We gotta take an overall posture of believing them. To be a visionary for them. They don't need all the specifics you give them on what they need to change. Rather, they need more specifics on what they're doing well.
Amen.
Listen to this from a best-selling book on discovering your strengths. The authors make a strong case that the best way to manage people is discover their strengths and fuel them.
Amen.
Not look for their weaknesses and try to remove or improve them. Companies that shift their attention from attacking their workers' weaknesses to fueling their strengths see remarkable success. How about if we do that for our teenagers? For example, you know, say, son, I know you didn't run your best race today in cross country at the high school track event, but I'm sorry that you're down about that. But let me tell you something. You know what I see in you? You don't quit. You keep pushing yourself to the end of the race. It's not only in track that I see this in you. I see you persevere with schoolwork. I see you persevere with your friends, even when you're hurt by them. I see your faithfulness to God, and you resolve to be strong, even when others put down your faith. You struggle, but you're not a quitter. And I know that about you. From a parent, that's power. That's power to your child. That's power to your teenager. Now, don't flatter them by telling them something they don't represent, right? Yet there are good character traits they have. Find them and express them. Like if they're not a quitter, tell them how much their great perseverance. If willing to stand alone for God, say, your righteousness blows my mind. If hardworking, express it to them. Because these are character traits that build for a lifetime. You finding their character strengths and expressing specifically how it manifests itself will live with them forever. Thomas Edison said, if people knew the fullness of their capabilities, they would literally be astounded. When your kids know you believe in them, watch out. You may be astounded someday. Take an overall view of believing in me. Key number one, believe in me. Do we get it?
Yeah.
We get it? Got it? All right? Okay? So just stay, you know, I want this to be loose, because when you lighten up, you loosen up, and you listen up. All right?
Yeah.
Are we loose?
Yeah.
All right. Teens, you're okay? You know, hey, I'm going to be talking to some sweet dog, so you can Google. I don't even mind when you Google. Technology, and everyone who knows anything about me knows that. Okay, key number two. Ready to get back to the message, right? Believe in them, number two. Walk with them. Well, why walk with them? That's what God does for us. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, aren't there so many fearful things in the world that we walk around with these crazy fears? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you, for God, you are with me. Your staff and your rod, what do they do when I'm fearful? They comfort me. God is with us all the time, walking with us side by side, and even carrying us during troubled times. Isn't that what we should be for our children? You know, it's really wild for fathers. Right? That's what we call God, right? With a small f, that's the title God gave us. Wow, that's what we should be doing for our kids. Time with children validates to them, which the world doesn't, but we need to, that they're significant, that they're special, that they're important, that they're valued, and that they're cared about. Time is spelled this way, C-A-R-E. And kids don't care what you know until they know that you care. And you show that you care by spending time with them. Spending consistent time with your teen communicates a lot with them. And if you're not spending time with them, I really encourage, challenge, inspire, urge you to reorganize today. To reorganize everything you're doing today. Some cautions on the subject of spending time with your teens. Watch your career. Investing in children pay eternal dividends. Investing in making money will not. Yes, provide for your family, because that's what we're called to do. But provide emotional and spiritual support even more than you do monetarily for your family. Watch your hobbies. Sacrificing your personal pleasures for time with your kids will make a difference to them that will last a lifetime. Your hobbies are a bunch of junk that's just going to disappear when you go to heaven someday. Over-budgeted schedule. Spending time with others and neglect of time with your kids. Reorganize today. Do not let your kids' schedule get over-budgeted. I do want to talk about our teenagers. Your family plans time. You need to respect your parents in decades. And don't over-budget your schedule. Your time with your family is incredibly important to the emotional and spiritual health of your life. And so you've got to make sure that when mom and dad say, hey, you want to have a family dinner, you make it. You make a Thanksgiving dinner, I'll spend a day together, we'll have a family trip, you make it. Say, friends, sorry, I love you as friends, but I love my family more. But happy Thanksgiving. Before anything else, please first plan how you consistently spend time with your family. Things you can do. Dads having dates with their daughters. Ask the teenager why she and her dad are so close, because I saw how close they were. And she said, my dad consistently takes me on dates. I love when my dad takes me on dates. Father and son and mother and daughter time weekly. Mix it up in what you do. Breakfast together, activity together, whatever you like to do together. I'm talking about a conscious and deliberate times you set aside with your child or teenager. Have family times, dinners together, game nights, Saturday trips, family devotionals that are fun. Relevant things to your kids' ages. You know, I do something special. You know, I did it for my son and my daughter. I'll just talk about my daughter. At 13 years old, coming into adolescence, I do something special for them like every 2 or 3 years. I took my daughter to New York to see a Broadway play. And we got there early, we walked around Central Car Park, and we went to see Wicked. And it was freaking good. You go, okay, Phil, What about all the pressures of parenting and my schedule?
Oh, I feel it. I'm with you. I feel precious. I get insecure. I go, wow, am I doing good? I got all this. I got my ministry stuff here, here, here. You got your career. Just as important, just as big. I'm going to do this. And we feel a lot, don't we, parents? You know what's a mind boggling inside of God about 4 months ago? Don't you love it inside of your mind? Mind boggling. Talk about pressure, okay? Jesus! Jesus! Ready to go to the cross, get beaten, get tortured. If that was me, the day before, I'd be, oh! Seriously, I mean, I kind of jumped a little, but seriously, right? I'd be like all frightened and my heart would be coming out of my chest. What is Jesus?
He reclines with the disciples. He reclines with the disciples. He's going to be beaten and tortured and go to the cross. He's sitting back with his chin.
Show your children that you trust in God.
Yes.
Right. Have a great time with you. Yeah. Let them be here and let's die.
Yes.
Amen. Go ahead and
amen.
Yeah. And I will say this one to the tightwads. To the tightwad spouses. If you're a tightwad spouse, you need to let the loose spouse lead your devotion. You need to let the loose spouse let your family laugh. And you need to start bringing up things that you think needs to change. You gotta laugh and loosen up a little bit, do I have?
Amen!
Spending consistent time with your children reinforces to them that they are significant and valuable in your eyes. Simply said, we're talking about putting your priorities on what you value most. Wow. Teens report on what they want from families. One of the biggest ones was meaningful time spent with their parents. Remember, as you spend time with them, they better understand a relationship with God when you have a spiritual quality life. Right? So as you spend time with them, make sure you're walking with God, because they'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon, right? So as we walk with them, let us walk with God. Seeing an enthusiastic faith in your life speaks volumes about God to them.
Yes.
Believe in them. Walk with them. How are we doing? I'm going to do it. Some of these are shorter, so don't worry. I'm not going to go 90 minutes, okay? Key number 3. These are all very powerful. You put all this package together. This is the big picture, in my view, on how to treat others. Believe in them and walk with them. Doesn't that resonate?
Yes.
Thirdly, teach them the heart. Not the behavior. Teach them the heart.
Amen.
Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? Because they will see God. I want to see God. I want my children to see God.
Right.
I want them to see God in everything that they do. The pure in heart are the ones who see God.
Amen.
I'm going to talk about one aspect of pure-heartedness, and that's a pure-hearted walk with God. It says, Psalm 73, verse 1, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. We've got to help our kids, and we have to help guide them to seek faith that they own. That it's their faith. Not our faith, but it's their faith. We can influence them, but they've got to own their faith for it to last a lifetime. Guide them to seek their own faith. Guide them to the scriptures to find Jesus. Listen to this one. Ask them good questions. Did you know that throughout the Gospels, to build people's faith, throughout all the Gospels, Jesus asked 287 questions. And I'll even say to the teen workers, when you lead classes, ask questions. Let them respond. Let them find their faith. 287 questions Jesus asked. to get to people's faith.
Yes.
That's powerful.
Yes.
It's a great way to discover Jesus. Socrates said that teachers help students discover truth for themselves by asking questions that make them think logically, because they're more likely to own that faith since they discovered it for themselves. That's what you did, right? That's what I did. That's what your kids want to do. Now, please, share with them about your heart. But then give them space to ponder things, to discover their own faith through their experiences in life. This includes during hard times. Acts 13:22, God says, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after whose heart? My own heart. Not after his father's heart. But God says, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after God's own heart. That's where I want my child. He will do everything I want him to do. You know, David on his own volition loved his God. It was genuine, true, reliable, and legitimate because it was his faith that he found. We got to help our teenagers to discover their own faith. Help them to see how their decisions reflect their relationship with God. And reason with them. But that's all you can do. Don't force, because it won't be real faith. But reason and give them time and give them space. Can I see your Bible?
I want to talk to teenagers. I'm not concerned that you're doodling, because you're a very attentive group. But I do want to talk to you. I want you to know this. This is not. And don't let anyone ever tell you. Ever. Tell you. Not even someone in the church. This is not a book about rules.
Right.
No way. This is not a book. This is not a book of rules.
Right.
This is a book about God, the Creator, the Almighty God, the gigantic God. He wants a relationship with you. He cares about you. He loves you. He believes all the girls are absolutely beautiful.
Amen.
Even on your worst day, when you don't think you are, I'm sorry, you are.
Yes.
Amen.
You are beautiful. Men, you are men of men.
Right.
God sees in you, he has a vision. When Gideon was under a tree, he felt insecure, he felt discouraged. You know what God said to Gideon? Mighty warrior, you go! Even on your worst day, God sees you as a mighty warrior.
Amen.
And God loves you. This book is about God wanting a relationship with you.
That's right.
Guys, isn't that what we want with other guys? Strong relationships, respecting each other. God respects you.
Amen.
But he desires that relationship. If the girls, isn't that what you want? To be loved, to be valued, to be accepted? There you go. God does. That's what the book is about. Be fascinated by God, and let me tell you, you'll discover your own faith. Don't go back to your God. Amen.
Parents, teach your children. Listen to this one. And actually, I hear Florence saying yes. Florence is really going to yes this one. I think she's really... I'm getting to know Florence pretty well. Parents, teach your children. Not about having a quiet time. But the heart behind their personal walk with God.
Amen.
And about worship 24/7.
Amen.
God desires a relationship with them. God wants to bless them, care for them, walk with them. God wants to give them a purpose. Teach them the heart
right
behind worship.
Yes.
Parents, teach your children not about rules.
Right.
Not about the rules. But the heart behind Jesus' commands.
Amen.
He wants to protect them. He doesn't want to harm them.
Right.
He doesn't want them to get into immorality, because that's going to harm them.
Church does.
Yes.
So it's
got to
come from the home.
That's right.
Come on, Bill. This is great.
Don't teach them about the rules, but God desires to have a spiritual, for them to have spiritual and emotional health. Don't tell your teens to go to church, but tell the heart behind church. That they have a community of believers who they can care for, and then who they can be cared for by. And that together, that, oh, isn't this the great thing about the church? Together we can do great things for God. And that we can come together and do great things for our great big God. And together we can do things together that can do great things for our big, loving, caring, his eye out throughout the church, God, and bring glory and honor to him. So I have an amen. Don't tell them to go to church. Teach them about the heart behind the church. Oh, is this good or what? And it's not because it's from me, it's because it's from the Bible. Come on, man, bring it on. Matthew 5, verse 8. I'm going to personalize it now. Blessed. Blessed means most happy, correct? Blessed when I am pure in heart, for that's when I see God. I'm sorry, my goal is for my kids to see God. I want them to see God. Key number 4, are we doing okay?
Yes.
Believe in them, walk with them, teach them the heart. Doesn't that resonate?
Yes.
Encourage them.
Amen.
Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Yes.
Now I want to give a caution. If you say, why should I encourage daily? It may make them think that they don't have to work on these other things that need massive improvement. We feel that, don't we? I do! But you know what? That can get downright depressing for our kids. To put before them things they need to improve more often than encouraging words wears them down, tears them down, and can even get them to give up. And they'll give up because they want you to give up on them and stop bombarding them with negativity. Children and teens lack esteem, faith, courage, and confidence. The definition of encourage from Webster's Dictionary is to give courage, hope, and confidence. Oh, that sounds like God. How many times does he say, do not be afraid in the Bible? I think it's about 365 times. That's once a day. We're supposed to encourage every day. They long for your encouragement. Now, with that, don't tell them that they're the greatest of greats, because they're not. And don't compare them to other people, because they're not better than other people. They need their improvements, no matter how little, in their good efforts, recognized by you and encouraged on a daily basis. That's what the Bible teaches us. We got to dig for the diamonds. And we got to express it to them. We got to be generous with encouragement. You got to catch them in the things that they're doing well. Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness. Come on, guys, our kids are full of goodness. They're a heritage from God. They're a reward from God. How about the majority of times that they leave your presence, that they are praised? How about it, church? How about it, church? What do you think grace is all about? It will give them greater courage to take on their teenage years with this evil world. Key 1 is about believing in them and talking about their major character traits, life-building issues. Key 4 about encouragement is more of a conscious daily action of finding even the little things they do well and giving encouragement, like chores on time, homework done, when showed compassion, and finding individual things they do and encouraging them and building them up. Let me tell you, it brings smiles to my kids' faces because I do it on a daily basis. I find things that they do well.
This past year, I was really far from my son. He took a stand. Went away with some pretty popular kids. I don't say why, because it's not day, but I don't want people to listen to the day. But he went away with a group of really good friends, powerful people. And so he's away, he's with a team. And so they're in a hotel room, he's away for a week, away from mom and dad. And so one of the kids happened to bring up some weed. He said, hey, let's smoke some weed. Everybody's smoking weed. Everybody. My son's sitting in the corner. And he said, stop. And my son looked at them and he said, I don't do it. No, I'm not going to do it. The kid looked at him and said, I respect you for that.
Yes.
He didn't do it.
He's away from mom and dad. Why not experiment? I mean, mom and dad would never find out. He wouldn't be home for another 5 days. I would have smelled on the ground. I would have done it. I would have played those fools for that mom and dad.
He didn't do it because of his mom.
Yes.
What do you think I did? I've encouraged him for the last 5 years. I keep bringing that up.
Because he standing alone for his faith.
Yes.
Teenagers, you can stand alone for your faith.
Yes.
You can just say no.
Right.
If you love God, don't do it because God doesn't want you to do it, because God wants a relationship with you.
Yes.
Encourage them. 1 Samuel 23:16 says, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Encouragement helps you find strength in God. It helps our kids courageously take on temptation. Key number 5. Are we doing all right?
Key number 5, I don't ask much because my wife did a phenomenal job last night with it. But we don't have time to go through it. But key number 5 is to understand
it. Amen.
It's to understand it. Proverbs 20:5. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters. But the man that understands draws them up. You know, teenagers can fight you as parents, but then they will fight you back as consultants, right?
Ready? We doing all right? We got two more. Are we gonna do okay? Two more. Here we go. Brief summary. Believe in me. Walk with me. Teach me the heart. Encourage me. Understand me. You start with these five. I guarantee that you have won their heart. I guarantee you do these five. You do these five first. Believe in them. Walk with them. Teach them the heart. Encourage them. Understand them. It'll go far. But they need more. But I will say number six is rendered ineffective if you don't do the first five well. Do you know what number six is? Expect of them. You've got to expect of your kids. You want kids with a backbone when they leave your house. You've got to, but these first five have to be in place first. Expect for them. Hebrews 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Oh, doesn't it? Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained under it. As you know, I don't like pulpits.
Have you seen teens make bad decisions? They don't take responsibility at times, and a lot of times they desire laziness.
Right.
Yes. Or maybe it's just my kid. Proverbs 29:21. If a man hinders his servant from youth, he will bring grief to the end. You do not want them to grow up and not be ready to take on this world.
Right.
They need to be prepared for life. Here's a little history lesson. The word of a teenager didn't come about until the late 1950s. When it appeared in American dictionaries, it became popular in culture around the mid-50s. These are the baby boomers whose parents paid for their college. These kids got more given to them than what the past generations of kids got. Teenagers before the 50s were considered and treated more as young adults.
Right.
You know what's amazing about that? In the Bible, when it's written, young man, it is more accurately translated as young adult. Yeah. That's powerful.
Yes.
They do not need their childhood extended.
Amen.
Unless you want them living in your house at 30 years old. I can't go up.
Thank you.
Reason with them. Help them. You know, the brain doesn't fully mature until it's 25. So this sensing sensation part of the brain, working your finger, matures faster. The time of good judgment matures later. Oh! That's why parents go, oh! But you know what? When we help them think through expectations, in sound judgment times, we give them strategies in their head to keep that healthy brain mature faster.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Help them, I think the big thing is help them not to fall in crowd in doing stupid things.
Yes.
Because crowds do stupid things.
Amen.
And I do not stereotype teenagers that they're the bird mentality. They intend to be here, but you can see them wrong with your faith.
Right.
You have a powerful enough God to say no to that person that's doing stupid things.
Right.
Exodus 23:2, what a great scripture. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. How about that scripture, Jesus?
Yes.
Right.
Exodus 23, that one, put that in your room. Hey, I never want to follow the crowd in doing wrong.
Yes.
And we got to expect them to take responsibility. To say sorry, sometimes there are consequences. Help them to see that these consequences aren't the end of the world. It's part of their discipline, part of their maturity, part of them growing, and the painful part of growing to be more like Jesus.
Yes.
Right.
And that can be a shoe for them to help them to learn to grow. And I'll say this in my last seventh one is
short. I want to say to the teenagers, to expect yourself to do great things for God today.
Amen.
When David was 17, he slew Goliath. When Esther was a young woman, she stood up to a king with her life and saved a whole race of people. She stopped a genocide. Esther did a great thing for God as a teenager, as a young woman. Because God's powerful enough for you to do that. Timothy, who grew up in the church, whose grandmother and mother were Christians, as a young man became an evangelist. Can we give it up for our teens to having the faith and the courage to stand alone for their faith? Yeah, teens! I see your first three rows of here of young men, young women, very gifted and talented, that they can change the world. With their God, they can change the world. Bottom line, we've got to expect from our teenagers. Teenagers usually live up or down to our expectations. You treat them as a child, they'll act like a child. You treat them like a young adult, they'll most likely act as a mature adolescent. If we put these six keys into practice, we'll most likely have spiritually and emotionally mature older men and older women when they're our age. Responsible and hardworking. My last key, number 7, is never give up on them. And I go back to John 21:17. Peter deserted Jesus at the cross. Jesus raised from the dead and says to Peter, "Feed my sheep." Jesus never gave up on Peter. Some sins and character weaknesses are harder to change than others, aren't they? Don't we as adults know? Because we're working on them presently. Teenagers have storms, they have tornadoes, and you know what? They may even last for years. Even until they get out of your house. You gotta ride out the storms with them. You may be disappointed, you may disapprove. It may be extremely discouraging and even at times depressing. But never give up on them. Never give up on them. Because their behavior may signal that they've given up on themselves. When you never give up on them, what does it communicate? In the loudest of ways, unconditional love. Oh, who are we betraying there? Unconditional love. That would be Jesus. When you never give up on them, when they're an adult, they'll highly and likely end up, you will be proud of them, for what they have become. Believe in them, walk with them, teach them the heart, encourage them, understand them, expect from them, and never give up in them.
Here's what I want to know.
sold from Berlin a number of years ago. 20 years old, came up to me and said, "Phil, I only wish that my parents treated me like this. But you know what? I have hope that someday they still will."
Amen.
20 years old, he said. 20 years old. As you raise your children, as you raise your teenagers, please remember this. God believes in you.
Yes.
God understands you in the precious of parenting. And he's with you. And he's for you. He gives you everything you need for life and God.
Yes.
And he's parenting.
Yes.
God walks with you and always is there for you. God, through scriptures and prayer, will continue to teach you the heart. I feel like this lesson is about teaching you the heart.
Yes.
God encourages you through your parenting days. Oh, Phil, how?
Grace.
And all in your home, grace.
Amen.
I made tons of mistakes as a parent. Grace. He continues to encourage you through grace. God expects from you to follow through with biblical principles of parenting. God will never give up on you.
Amen.
In your worst of times, he will carry you. Let's go do the same for our children. Let's go do the same in our own relationships with the church.
Amen.
Let's do the same for the relationships with the church. Now you ask for this, and I'm done. Pray about this lesson, please. Pray through these qualities.
Amen.
Put them in practice and then let God do the rest. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. The second best time is today. Put these seven keys into practice today.